Welcome to the Bethesda Church Podcast. We're so glad you've joined us today. If you'd like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at BethesdaChurch.tv/give and simply select the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning, Bethesda Church. How's everybody doing? Oh, you can do better than that. Come on. Let's give Jesus some praise. Feels good in the room this morning. Welcome to Freedom Sunday. I am super excited about what God is going to do in this service, what he's already done. How many of you guys enjoyed worship this morning? Amen. I enjoyed worship. I've got a message for you that I want to share with you today, and I'm super thankful that you're here, and I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to do something in this room today, and I believe that we're going to leave here differently than we came in. In John chapter number 13, I want to read 17 verses, and then I'm going to preach these 17 verses for about 25 or 30 minutes, and then we're going to move into a different aspect of today's service, and that's where we're really just leaning on the Holy Spirit to do something in every single heart in this room. But in John's Gospel, chapter 13, starting in verse number 1, it says, "It was just before the Passover festival, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, he took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, are you going to wash my feet?' And Jesus replied, 'You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand.' 'No,' said Peter, 'you shall never wash my feet.' And Jesus answered, 'Unless I wash you, you have no part with me.' 'Then, Lord,' Simon Peter replied, 'not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well.'" Just leave it to Peter. Like, since you're in the washing mood, just give me a bath. You know, wash every single part of me. I love this text. I mean, like, wash every part of me. And Jesus answered, he said, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, 'Not everyone was clean.' And when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. 'Do you understand what I have done for you?' he asked them. 'You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." I want you to turn to the person sitting next to you, and I want you to tell them the title of today's message. Just look at them and tell them, "Washed." Come on, that's the wrong neighbor. Find somebody else. Tell them, "Washed." That's what I want to talk to you about for the next few minutes. We're a couple weeks away from Easter, and why do we celebrate Easter? What happened on that first Easter? We all know in this room that Jesus was crucified for the sins of the entire world, as a sacrificial lamb, but on the third day, he was resurrected. He rose from the dead, conquering death, hell, and the grave. And the Easter story is the reason why we are still gathering today. It is a story and a truth that is worth celebrating. How many of you understand that without the resurrection, everything else Jesus did would have been irrelevant? But because he conquered death, hell, and the grave, how many know we have a reason to celebrate? We have a reason to worship. We have a reason to enter in to the presence of God today. And as most of you know, the story of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, it began really the night before when Jesus had supper with his disciples. This meal is known as the Last Supper. They were all sitting around a table eating and drinking, and the disciples, if you study the text, because not only is it in John 13, you can turn over to Luke chapter 22 and read about it there as well, but at this meal, the disciples are arguing, and in this story, Judas usually becomes the focal point because of the negative, and in a negative way, because we know that he is the one that Jesus identifies as the one who would betray him. But Judas wasn't the only one struggling at the Last Supper. You can find this same account in Luke's gospel, chapter number 22. And when you look at the disciples and what they're arguing about, which is really, really interesting to me, they're arguing about who is the greatest. Everyone is talking about who is the greatest. Like, it's not just that the devil had entered Judas and he's about to betray Jesus. The other 11 are arguing about who's the greatest at this table. And they're talking about themselves, about who is the greatest. And I can only imagine the conversation that is going on around this dinner table. The Bible tells us in Luke 22:24, it says, there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And here they are, seated with the Son of God, the greatest leader in the history of the world, and they are arguing about who is the greatest. Maybe they were arguing about who had performed the most miracles. Maybe who had cured the most people. Maybe it was about who had driven out the most demons. I can imagine Peter stepping up to the plate and saying, look, guys, do you remember that time when Jesus came walking towards us on while we were fishing and he was walking on the water? Do y'all remember this? How I was the only one who got out of the boat and walked on the water. But I can also hear other disciples saying, well, yeah, that's true, but you're also the only one who sank, right? Like you can hear the back and forth because they want to be the greatest. They want to be elevated in their position. Maybe even it was James saying, remember the time on the mountain, Peter, since you want to brag about walking on the water, when Jesus was on the mountain and Moses and Elijah showed up and some weird stuff happened. I mean, shouldn't the greatest be anyone except the person who comes up with these insane ideas that Jesus had to shut down about building these shelters to each one? And in the middle of the chaos, in the middle of the arguing about who's the greatest, the Son of God, our Savior, in the middle of it, gets up from the meal, wraps himself in a towel, pours water in a basin, and he starts washing their feet. He says to them, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. And the question becomes, why was this such a big deal? At the same time, at the time that the disciples lived, we all know they did not have cars. They did not have buses. They did not have bicycles. People walked everywhere they went. And it was hot, and they walked in sandals. Foot washing in biblical times was dirty business. It wasn't like today with paved roads and cars and buses and closed-toed shoes. During the time of Jesus and the disciples, people walked everywhere they went. And sometimes that meant many, many miles on your feet every single day. And since there was no automobiles or pavement, there were a lot of donkeys and horses, camels and oxen. Plus there was sheep. You guys remember all the Bible verses about sheep and shepherds. Sheep were a hot commodity. They were often moved from the country and taken to the city to be sold. This meant that there was a lot of, how can I say this, in church, it meant that there was a lot of poop on the ground. Everywhere they traveled, there was poo everywhere they went. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, there was poo everywhere. There was poo everywhere. These animals would obviously relieve themselves as they traveled, and the carts and things rattling behind the animals would also run over top of the poo, which made it impossible to escape. It was everywhere. And so what they would do is that when they would arrive at their destination, the host would typically provide a bowl of water for guests coming over to their house or over to their place of business. And the guests would either wash their own feet or a servant would wash their feet for them. And for those homes with servants, this job was reserved for the lowest servant, the one at the bottom of the totem pole who got stuck with what was the one who got stuck with the dirtiest jobs. And this is why the disciples, specifically Peter, was shocked that Jesus, a teacher and a leader, the Son of God, would stop what he's doing and he would kneel down and he would wash the disciples' feet. This task, so they thought, was beneath him. And I think it's important to talk about what Jesus was trying to accomplish in this moment that he washed their feet. The writer of the book of Hebrews tells us that it was fitting for him, talking about Jesus, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. How many of you understand that God did not just come into our lives to save us, but he came to raise us? He came to raise us to a level of sonship, a level of being in his presence, a level of glory that we could never experience without the presence of God. The captain of our salvation is made perfect through his suffering and in his ability to raise us to a new level, to raise us to glory, is what Hebrews tells us. Now, what is glory? When we talk about glory, what is glory? Glory is the stuff that makes God, God. And when God says, I want to raise you to glory, it's when the stuff that makes God, God, is now placed on you. Some of you don't know this, but as a child of God, you are now royalty in the kingdom of God. You are sons and daughters of the King. And the last time I checked, the King owns it all. And he's a good King. He's a faithful King. Come on, somebody. If you believe that, give him some praise right there. Now watch this. He wants to raise his followers to a different place. And Jesus prayed very specifically throughout the Gospels that he was going to be glorified. He was using this term glorified. And what does it mean to be glorified? It means that heaven is backing your life. It means that heaven is backing your words. It means that I don't have to do a thing, I can say a thing. The faith of God calls those things that are not as though they already are. A lot of places in Scripture says have faith in God. It's actually translated as have the faith of God. It means to operate the way God operates, to speak the way God speaks. This is why you and I, we don't pray about a mountain, we speak to the mountain. We don't ask God to do something about the mountain. My mountain knows my voice. Guess what? Your mountain knows your voice. You don't need me to move your mountain if you'll take your rightful spot and start speaking to the mountains in your life. God has given you that type of authority. He's given you that type of anointing on your life as a follower of Christ. You would be surprised what would happen if you would begin to speak to the things that you complain about. Many times people want someone else to remove their mountain, not understanding that your mountain really does know your voice. Jesus is talking about being raised to glory, but he's also talking about raising his followers to glory. And before we get to John 13, the text that we read in the previous chapter, in chapter 12, Jesus says this, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor." And this is such an interesting passage of Scripture because Jesus is saying, the hour has now come that I'm going to be glorified. And the crazy thing to me is about Jesus saying the hour has now come in John chapter 12 that I'm going to be glorified. What's interesting is that he has already been walking around in a level of glory. He has been speaking to stuff and stuff has been obeying him. He speaks to the wind and it obeys. He speaks to water and it obeys. He speaks to sickness and disease and it obeys. He tells demons to come out and they come out. He sends a word home to a Roman centurion's servant and that servant is healed. He speaks to fig trees and they die. He speaks to tombs and dead things come back to life. Glory. And he's saying, I've been operating in that level of glory, but I'm now about to be glorified. So I've been walking around speaking to stuff and it listens to everything I say. I have been living in a level of glory, but he also says, I'm about to be glorified. He had been operating in glory, but now it's time to be glorified. That tells me that glory has levels. The Bible talks about, if you read the New Testament, it talks about manifold glory. What does that mean? It means that glory has many layers. He's operating in glory, but he is about to go back to the glory he had before he came to earth. And if you'll walk with me for just a minute, God vacated his seat in heaven through Jesus, emptied himself in the person of Jesus, and now the time has come for him to be raised back to that level of glory. But it's also time that he raised us to a new level of glory. It's why when Jesus was talking about this, he said, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it produces much grain. Listen, if I were to prophesy over you and tell you that God wants to bring you to a new level of glory and he was going to do A, B, and C in your life, you'd be running around this church putting holes in the drywall. You'd be so excited because a lot of times we don't understand what it means when God says, I'm about to elevate you. I'm about to raise you up. I'm about to use your life in a greater magnitude. Because what he's really saying is, for that to happen, you gotta die. Watch this. Don't miss the point. When God is about to take you up, you have to drop. You have to drop. He said, if it's willing to die, it reproduces. Let me say it in a way you can get it. If you like your life where it's at, especially those of you that maybe you're not in covenant with God, if you like your life where it's at, you'll never get to where God wants you to be. There is an element, that's why he said, unless you hate your current life, you'll never experience the life I have for you. And I think sometimes the American dream and all the things that we think we need to be happy and to be joyful, all the things that people strive their entire life to get, none of it brings fulfillment because Jesus told us the way up is down. It's not about chasing stuff. It's not about obtaining things. John 12:25, he said very clearly, he who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So what is Jesus doing? He's changing his posture. He has been doing all this stuff in the earth, speaking to everything. Everything's obeying him. Now he changes his posture. He's about to return to glory, the same glory he had before he came to the earth. And he's saying, my goal is to go back to that level of glory, but my goal is also to raise you to a new level of glory. If you love your life where it's at, you can never get to the next place. It's why he's always talking about if you want to live, if you want to experience the fullness of God in a new way, you got to be willing to die. If you want to go up, you got to be willing to go down. Part of my job as a pastor is to help you hate where you are. So you can step into what he has for you. Be careful when you're running away from preachers who offend you. Jesus was somewhat offensive. I think at one point he even said, I came to do this. I came to offend. So we got to be careful trying to escape words from God that can be offensive. And I got to understand that I don't move up until I'm willing to drop. And this is why the night of the Last Supper, as the disciples, listen, argued about who's the greatest, Jesus rises up, lays aside his garments, picks up a towel, pours water into a bowl, and he begins washing their feet and drying them with a towel. Peter speaks up as he always did. Lord, you can't be washing my feet. Jesus said, if I can't wash your feet, then you're going to have no part in it. He's like, give me a bath, right? Just wash every part of me. And Jesus went on to tell them, he said, what I'm doing right now, you're not going to understand. What I'm doing in this moment, you're not going to get it now, but you're going to get it later. They did not fully understand what he was doing in this moment, but what Jesus was really teaching us is that if you want to be great in the kingdom, we don't become great in the kingdom by climbing over people and pushing everybody down and serving ourselves. We become great in the kingdom by serving others. He was modeling something we so desperately need to understand. This whole who's the greatest, one of the topics in my house is the goat. Do y'all talk about the goat in your house? Some of y'all are like, what's the goat? Greatest of all time. And well, no, it doesn't matter what decade you have the conversation in. If it was the 80s, it was who's the goat, Michael, or was it Magic or Larry? Then Michael Jordan came along and everybody was like, Michael Jordan's the goat. Kobe came along, and then there was a conversation, Michael or Kobe. Now it's Michael or LeBron. There's always a conversation about who's the GOAT, who's the greatest, who's the best of all time. And this debate goes all the way back, even into Bible times. Before Jesus knelt down to wash their feet, the disciples were arguing over who's the GOAT, who's the greatest. In one of the Gospels, even a mama got involved with her sons and said, my sons are the greatest. This one will sit at your right hand, and this one will sit at your left hand. And Jesus is showing us that glory is not on the right, and glory is not on the left, and glory is not climbing over top of people. Glory is when you're willing to get as low as possible. Why do you think the Bible says Jesus made himself of no reputation? We're so concerned about our reputation. Who gives a rip? If you'll handle your character, God will handle your reputation. Oh, somebody give him praise right there. I'm preaching real good right now. Somebody got to grab this. If you'll handle your character, God will handle your reputation. Following Jesus and being raised to glory is not about self-promotion. It's about you and I, listen, and this is not easy. It's about you and I dying to ourselves. Jesus said, he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. In other words, we can't love our lives so much that we're not willing to lay it down. And that's the problem, even in the American church. We want Jesus, but we want our life too. The kingdom of God only works when it's not about, I want Jesus, but I want my life. It only works when I'm willing to lay my life down to pick up the life he has for me. I want to show you a couple of things. I'm almost done. Hit your neighbor and say, hang in there. Hang in there. So let's get back to this moment where he washed their feet. Again, they did not have bikes. They did not have cars. Proper custom was upon entering into a house, you would wash your feet. And everyone's feet was dirty. And the reason everyone's feet was dirty is because they had collected dust from their journey. They had collected poo from their journey. They had collected some things on their feet. And so when you grab someone else's feet and you wash them, what you're saying is that I don't want everything you collected on your journey to ruin this moment. That shame stops here. Disappointment stops here. Guilt stops here. Regret stops here. All the things you've picked up along your journey, it stops in this moment. I don't want what you have picked up on your journey to hinder what the Holy Spirit wants to do in this moment. I want to make an announcement. I just want to say out loud for you to hear, but I also want the devil to hear it. This is the kind of church that you can come in dirty when whatever you have collected on your journey, it cannot stand in the presence of God. Somebody give him praise right there. You can come in dirty, but you ain't staying dirty. God's going to do a work in your life. Come on, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was addicted, but now I'm free. That's the kind of church that you have walked into today. God wants to wash you of your journey, of all the things you've picked up. Jesus says, what I'm doing right now, you don't understand. And Peter said, wash all of me. And here's a very interesting part. Jesus said, I only need to wash your feet. Because as I kneel down and wash your feet, I'm touching you here, but it's doing something in here. What I'm doing right now, you're not going to understand, but later, and I believe later, Peter looked back to that moment. And he realized that what Jesus did in the washing of his feet was doing something far greater in Peter's heart. See, I grew up in church where we pulled out the basins and we washed each other's feet. And we prayed for one another and we prophesied over one another. And I always thought for years that the moment of washing another individual's feet, I always thought that God was doing something significant in the heart and in the life of the person that was washing the feet. And what I failed to realize for a number of years is that the same humility it takes to kneel down and wash another individual's feet, it takes an equal amount of humility to have someone touch a part of your body that most of us are insecure. You don't want most people touching your feet. Maybe you got pretty feet. My feet aren't pretty. My wife should be saying amen. She's being so kind to me right now. I don't have the prettiest feet. And so it's not just that it will do something in the heart of the person washing the feet, but it does something in the heart of the person whose feet is being washed. Something spiritual happens. And the posture of a church moving into new levels of glory needs to be not pursuing self-promotion and our own interests, but pursuing other people and loving others more than we even love ourselves. That's what the kingdom of God looks like. It's what it should feel like. Listen, a person can have an array of problems, and one act of servitude can be a life-changing moment for them. If you want to go up, you better learn how to get low. If we want to be raised to glory, it may not be what you think it is. If we want to be great, it may not be what you think it is. Because the way up in God's kingdom is always down. Now, what I want to do in this moment is I want to illustrate this spiritual truth for everybody in the room today and everybody watching online. We want to illustrate what we've just talked about. Not only do we want to illustrate it, but we also want to encourage you, because on your way out today, after we do this illustration, you're going to be given all the supplies that we have up here. Every family's going to get one. And I just want to say, in case I would forget, you want to change the atmosphere of your home? Get a basin out and some water and wash your family's feet. I promise you, pride and arrogance and division cannot remain in a house that prioritizes the needs of others above your own. I believe there is healing in this place this morning, and I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to do something significant in every single heart. So we're going to illustrate this. I believe that Jesus wants us to know the importance of getting low, the importance of picking up a towel, and to see him get involved. How many of that humility can heal a lot of things? Do you know why a lot of things never get healed? Pride. We can't receive from God. The Bible says, listen to me, the Bible says that God resists the proud. Do you know what that means? It means that if you're in pride, God is working against you. It's not just that he's not going to show up. He's literally making sure you won't get your breakthrough. He will resist the proud. He will play defense on the proud. But what happens to the humble? He gives them grace. So I'm going to ask if they would. I'm going to ask PK if she would come and join me on the platform. for this moment, and I'm going to ask them to come get this out of my way. Dan, you can come get this. And before we transition into this moment, I want to set the tone just a little bit. And I want to say a prayer, and when I finish praying, they have a song that we're just going to play, and then we're going to illustrate. We have asked the staff, if they would, members of the staff, if they would allow us, PK and I, to wash their feet today. And we're believing that it's not just the act of washing their feet. We believe that something spiritual is going to happen, not only in their lives, but I believe something spiritual is going to happen in this room today. How many would put their faith with that and say amen? You want to add anything? No. So as soon as I get done praying, they're going to play a song, and we're going to begin doing this and just ask the Holy Spirit to anoint this time. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for speaking to us through your word. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this moment to do what you want to do, how you want to do it, as long as you want to do it. We pray that you would minister to every single home today, every single family. And God, I just pray that we would leave this place with an attitude of servitude. God, understanding that to go up in the kingdom means that we got to be willing to get low. Bless these next few minutes, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Bethesda Church. We hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and our website, BethesdaChurch.tv. Thank you for joining us and have a great day.